It is time for the next iteration of Behind the Beard WNC, a podcast where four guys get together and we talk about all sorts of things, but most often it is always high school football. We do it for our entertainment. We hope you're entertained too, but if you're not, that's okay. There's other things out there to listen to. What a weekend of football, high school, college. The pros are happening right now. We're actually recording on Sunday today, so I couldn't tell you about the pro games yet, but the college and the high school scene on Friday and Saturday, very, very entertaining. So, gentlemen, what did you guys do other than watch football this weekend? Michael, you were on I-40, I think, for 48 hours. Is that right?
I did. We went down to Raleigh for the state game. Did some tailgating. Spent a lot of time down there and then came back home getting to see Luke. So that was a lot of fun. So football, football, and football. Probably more football today.
Mike texted us and said State can't even stop Campbell. And by the time I looked at the score, it was like 42-7. So
it was 7-7. I'm like, we can't even stop Campbell.
Yeah, no, just football. I mean, all weekend, it's just what a blessing it is. So, Lewis, what'd you do?
Football Friday, Saturday tree job, and then we went to the race down there at Tri-County. And then I spent all night on the parkway just doing a little soul searching, trying to get back to that winning way, you know.
Tri-County, that was a fun race, little cars tour action. I was supposed to spot that one, but
Dale Earnhardt Jr. was down there.
That means there's twice as many fans.
And I think everyone down there was drinking the sauce because dude, when he got close to the fence, it was a melee trying to take pictures with like a selfie, like you're in the car with him. It's unreal.
While he was driving.
Yeah. He was sitting there, and I felt kind of bad for him because there was 500 people at the fence fighting to, like, get a selfie.
You'd
like,
have to think he's probably used to that.
But
though,
it's
right?
Through the fence. Like, you're not even, like, driver introduction or nothing like that. No.
Yeah.
These people were ridiculous. But I enjoyed watching. It was a good race.
The people watching, that's the best.
A small town local track is the place to do that. Trust me, Pat. Well, you have seen it, but you haven't been with the common people. You've been up there in Tier Parkin.
That's the place to be.
Indeed. Thanks to Mike Anderson.
Indeed.
I'll never forget our first experience up there at the Tri-County Speedway, sitting there in Tier Parkin. We're all having a fine time, enjoying the thing. Of course, Mike is working.
Yeah.
So he's over there, but he's giving us headsets so we can kind of hear what he's doing up there and kind of get a flavor of that. And then remember at the end of that night,
with the lady,
the fight breaks out in the pit and somebody with some sort of huge wrench.
Torque wrench.
Waylaid somebody with a torque wrench, and then there were ambulances and cop cars and everything descending on it. And Mike's just like, yeah, just another typical night here at Tri-City.
It was Tri-County. But at that moment, Pat was worried about legal obligations. He's like, wait, should we file a report? Do we need to leave?
Am I going to get sued because I watched this?
Yes, exactly.
That's not Pat is the same one that turned you guys in for the...
Yes.
Yeah. Into
the for COVID.
For COVID, yeah.
Never again, though. Never again.
That's awesome. Man. But what a weekend. I mean, it's still going on. So,
Pat, what about you? What'd you get into this weekend?
Well, we went to the Reynolds game, obviously, on Friday and did the call for that. That was fun. Saturday, we had a concert down at the lake that was benefiting the Hurricane Helene stuff and Mana Food Bank, which was kind of fun and nice. That was a good time.
Some people call it Mana, but...
Well, they kept calling themselves Mana. That's because I used to call it Mana, too, but...
They call it Mana?
That's how they refer to themselves.
I did not know that.
Yeah.
We learned something.
Seriously.
Yeah, then they were the ones up on the stage talking.
Biltmore Lake coming out.
They only say that in Biltmore Lake. Everywhere else.
I was going to say, my whole life it's been Mana.
Yeah. Well, mine too, but that's what they said. So we did that and then just hung out, watched a lot of football. It was good.
Hey, we got to talk about last week's picks.
Yeah, we do, man.
We could fast forward. Yeah, we could skip right through it.
So... We got a couple clips. Can you play Carson 1 and Carson 2? Just play them back to back.
Yeah. But I'm looking at the spreads right now, and I see the board clear. My picks are ugly this week. Yeah. So I'm either going to have a tremendous week, or it could be all-time.
You're putting it all on the table this week.
Yeah, this week. I'm making a move. It's moving week.
Unfortunately, that was moving down for Carson.
Yeah.
Carson made a move, all right.
Not good for me. Very, very poor.
None of us were good.
Yeah, none of us were great. Y'all were okay.
So I was 5-4, Pat 4-5. Look at Pat coming in second this
Indeed.
Week.
Hey, Pat.
No longer the bottom dweller.
Carson and Lewis 3-6. Carson, at least you didn't lose any ground to Lewis.
No, I just mean, and what's wild though is me and Lewis were on a lot of different games.
And we still suck.
And we still suck.
So making my move. So Lewis 40-27. Carson 38-29. I'm right there, 37-30. And Pat's the opposite, 30-37.
Yeah.
Dude, just imagine if I did have a big week, the gap out. I mean, I still got a gap.
Yeah. Well, you started out with a tremendous lead.
Mm-hmm.
It's dwindling.
Not for long, buddy.
He's coming back to
that
us.
That time on the parkway.
Yeah.
I got it figured
true.
Out.
That's true.
I got it figured out.
Love it.
I'm on the parkway.
Soul searching.
The day we see him up there sucking his thumb on the parkways, that'll be something.
I actually do hang out on the parkway a good amount.
Do you really?
Yeah, like sunset watching and like looking at the stars, yeah.
Yeah. That's cool.
Nice. All right, well, let's talk about the games. Let's start with a clip. You got a clip from Pat I'd like to hear.
Oh, what did I say? Okay. You know what? Obviously, Mountain Heritage is going to win this game, but I'm going to say Polk and the points. Oh,
that did it for me. Pat took Polk, Mountain Heritage for me. And that was the right call.
Indeed. Indeed.
Ouch.
Oh, Mountain Heritage, 32.5 point favorite. They win 51-8.
Golly. 51-8.
51-8.
When's the running clock now? What time?
35.
35.5. Wow.
Yeah, Lewis knows. 35.
wow.
Oh, man. Polk falls to 2-5, 0-3 in the conference. Mount Heritage 5-1, 2-0 in the conference. Carson Lewis May got this one right. For Polk, quarterback Wilkins was 10-17, 141 yards and an interception. Running back Sanchez, 18 carries, 90 yards and a touchdown. For Mount Heritage, Dayton, the quarterback, 4-5 through the air, 4-5, 113 yards and a touchdown. He also rushed it 2 times for 35 yards and a touchdown. Kaysen Jones had a great game. 6 carries for 124 yards and a touchdown. 2 catches for 93 yards and a touchdown. As a team, Mount Heritage rushed for 319 yards.
Quick math. I mean, that's over 20 yards a carry and 45 yards of reception.
It's pretty good.
Recipe for a Jesus. Blowout win.
Yeah. It could have been our player of the week if not for one other player.
Yeah, and the one other player. I think this is the most unanimous we've ever been, which we'll talk about.
Yeah.
So next up, Madison traveled to Hendersonville. Hendersonville, a 32.5 point favorite. They get the win and cover 56-3. Madison not able to get much offense going. Their quarterback was 1-4 for 4 yards. Leading rusher Blankenship, 19 carries for 93 yards and a touchdown. They only had 131 total yards. For Hendersonville, quarterback Jerron Ward, 8-10, 213 yards and 5 touchdowns. Jordan Buford only had 4 carries, but got 52 yards and a touchdown. Pat and Mike got this one correct.
Indeed.
Yes. So,
indeed.
Hendersonville rolling again.
Yep.
Hendersonville doing well, adapting to the new conference.
Yeah. Yes, they are.
Yep.
So next up, Mitchell at Owen.
Ooh.
We got a clip. Let's play it. Go ahead.
So this is a game that everyone over there wants to check off. Like, hey, we finally beat Mitchell. Faircloth definitely wants to beat these guys, so I think he's going to be extra motivated this week, and it's going to motivate the players. I think this is a game Owen could win, so I'm going to go.
Mitchell wins 40-7.
It was not a pretty game.
No, 40-7. Owen was a 12.5-point underdog. Carson and Mike got this one correct. No stats from the game, Lewis. What you got over there?
Pretty much from the very beginning, Mitchell kind of – I mean, their offense and defensive line kind of ruled the game. On offense, every play, they were 7 yards deep. So if you're getting 6-7 a carry, it's not going to bode well for you. We did get that late score. Steven scored there at the end. But, I mean, other than that, it was pretty much Mitchell dominating the whole game. Every asset or aspect of the game.
Tough game.
It was a tough game.
Another tough one this week.
What did you see out? I mean, compared to years past out of Mitchell?
Mitchell and Mountain Heritage both kind of the same. Like, they're going to always do the same thing,
yeah.
Right? And it was basically, I mean.
So even though they lost some guys who's kind of just like, they've been in the system, they know. Yeah.
That's exactly right. And even during that game, you know, their starters were only in for like 2.5 quarters.
Yeah.
And then everybody else got game experience for a quarter and a half, which is huge, yeah. You know, for a developing player. So glad they could do that.
Yeah.
So next up, Smoky Mountain at Brevard. Brevard, 33.5 point favorite, gets the win and covers 54-12. Lewis and Mike got this one correct.
Oh, I got one right.
Yeah, Brevard goes to 6-0, while Smoky Mountain drops to 3-4, 1-3 in the conference. So next up, Tuscola at Franklin.
Let's go.
Franklin, a 16.5 point favorite. They get the win and cover 28-7. Pat Lewis Mike got this one correct. No stats for Franklin, but for Tuscola, running back Sam Trantham, 12 carries, 85 yards. The quarterback, 2 of 5 for 71. Jet Bartley, not on the stat sheet. I don't think he played.
Oh.
So anyway, Franklin rolling. Franklin's a team to reckon with.
Franklin does look like the premier coming out of that conference over there.
Well, other than Brevard.
Yeah, I mean, yeah,
who they lost to.
But still.
Now, I think Carson called that right a few weeks ago when he called Franklin that gritty team. Right.
So. Yeah, and I, you know, some you would think that maybe that Brevard game, they were just maybe, you know, took their foot off the gas pedal, but it seems like Franklin might be a team to be reckoned with.
Yeah, I made a couple excuses why that game was close, Brevard-Franklin, and it looks like Franklin may actually be pretty good.
Yeah.
So is there a chance it's a Brevard-Franklin, like, second-round playoff game?
Too early to tell, but, I mean, it's possible. The winner of the conference will probably get a first-round bye.
Yeah, and then, like, Franklin would play, like, a 15 seed from down, you know, down near Charlotte somewhere or something like that.
Yeah.
And then, like, normally the second round is, like, could be a
– Could be.
Yeah. Could be, yeah. Definitely.
Could very well be.
What did Steve say? That was the smoking cigars and burning dollar bills when you have two local teams in the second round?
That is true. I mean, just think about the gate and stuff.
Because even the teams that aren't playing that have already lost,
absolutely,
they're coming out to watch.
Oh, for sure. Absolutely. For sure. Those teams that make it to the third and fourth round, I mean, basically all the coaches, a lot of the players are going to it. I mean, great for everybody.
100%.
Little surprised at the lower attendance on the Irwin side the other night.
Oh, that was too, actually.
Reynolds pretty full. It was
I thought Reynolds had a great turnout. I was shocked to see.
Little small.
Yeah, I was shocked to see that from Irwin.
We had a fantastic turnout. Our side was full and their side was full. So it was great.
Yeah, that's awesome.
That is good. Yeah, anytime you can do that, it definitely helps the program financially. So next up, Pisgah at West Henderson. Guys,
what a game.
West, 3.5 point favorite.
Wow.
None of us got this correct. Pisgah wins 41-26.
Wow.
Ooh.
They said, hello.
How did they win, Mike?
For Pisgah. Mahaffey was 1 of 2 for 37 yards and a touchdown.
That was for, who was that?
Pisgah.
Oh, Pisgah, yes. Okay.
Yeah, their quarterback.
Yeah.
He threw 2 passes.
Yeah.
The rest of the time, they handed it off. Jeez. Mason Putnam had 10 carries for 92, but Landon Pope, he had 48 carries for 306 yards and 5 touchdowns.
Oh, my gosh.
Pisgah had 441 yards of offense. Wow.
Yeah.
I think it was the comment that we made last week about maybe they weren't the most physical team in the
metaverse. We did say that. And Matt, you want to go back and say they are now?
I will hold true to what I said when I saw them in that jamboree. They were the most physical team at the jamboree, in my opinion.
So he is saying they're more physical than Reynolds.
That's right, because Reynolds was there.
Yeah.
Well, so they were more
at
physical.
At that jamboree, again.
It's just wild.
You guys, I mean, the embellishment of my comments over everything is just insane.
That game brings up so many questions. It's like,
right.
How did, you know, did West have 11 guys right there in the box? I mean, you'd have to think that they probably did. And how does Landon Pope feel yesterday morning and this morning?
48 carries. That's 40, almost 50.
That, I mean,
hopefully he spent yesterday in a hot tub.
I was going to say an ice bath. Yeah, right? an ice bath. I mean, it was just that when I saw that, I was like, is that his stats from the last two weeks? And there was no, this is this last Friday night.
Yeah.
Crazy.
Yeah.
We probably could go ahead and announce our player of the week.
Let's do it. Player of the week. I mean, without question, I don't think there can be any argument to that. But he physically put the team on his back and carried them to a really commanding victory, too.
Yeah. Over a tough opponent. West is very tough.
Very good opponent.
Mount 8 wide open right now.
Yeah. Yeah. Wide open.
Almost.
Except for Brevard.
So, next up, TC. This is a little bit of a shocker, guys.
Wow.
TC at Asheville. Asheville, a 16.5 point favorite. Well, TC goes downtown and gets the win, 41-20.
Wow. I understand why you don't vote for your boys no more.
Carson is the only one who got this right.
Yeah, I was not expecting I was not expecting those updates when we were refreshing the score. Was not expecting that. I'd like to apologize to the Cougars because I guess any team that I associate myself with is just.
But you picked against them. I mean, you did get it right, but you picked against them.
Yeah,
right?
I wasn't. I mean, I wasn't pulling for a blowout victory.
Right. I mean, I think you were doing you were doing a little dance before you left.
No, I wasn't. No, I wasn't. Just a tough night. Tough night.
Asheville drops to 2-4 because 0-1 in the conference. Asheville sophomore quarterback Tay Williams was 7-14 for 147 yards, 3 touchdowns, but 2 interceptions. Freshman running back TK Davis, 16 carries, 124 yards, and a touchdown. And running back Brown, 11 carries for 86 yards, 2 catches for 74. For TC, Jake Farmer, 8-12, 109 yards, and a touchdown through the air. That's the third different guy we've seen play quarterback for TC.
Good. I mean, what would you say? It was 8 of 10?
8 of 12.
8 of 12. Okay.
And we heard he played extreme. I mean, we heard he could run.
Very fast, very, from what I understand.
Fast. Yeah.
So, one thing I was thinking about with this game, with how Asheville's done this year, does it make it easier for Court to go to Reynolds next year?
Agony.
I think he's focused on getting Agony. The guys regrouped yeah. for next
oh, okay.
week.
Oh, okay.
Is what I would say.
So, TC outgained Asheville 319 yards to 204.
Whew.
So,
yeah.
I think Asheville now dealing with some injuries. It doesn't get any easier this week. Could be a tough stretch here.
Yeah, for sure.
We did get to listen to a parent, you know. And I understand what he was saying, but like, hey, you guys gotta figure it out, you know?
Yeah. It's tough, but they'll turn it around, they'll get going again. So next up, what was the fantastic matchup between North Buncombe and Inca?
This is one for the records book.
Inca, a 4.5 point underdog at home. They get the win, 21-3. Pat,
Jets.
The only one to get this.
Jets.
Wrong
Jets.
Team was favored.
Pat, Friday was their like extra security at the lake house, making sure no one went down there and partied.
I was not aware of any of that.
Oh, okay.
So, that 21-3.
The three.
They didn't score
North
a
Buncombe,
touchdown.
Yeah, not able to find the end zone. So for Inca, quarterback Logan Trantham, 10 of 16, 162 yards, a touchdown interception. Running backs Parham and McKinney combined for 100 yards and 2 touchdowns. For North Buncombe, they only threw 9 passes, completed 3 of them for 23 yards and an interception. Kingston Denson, 23 carries, 107 yards for the Blackhawks.
I mean, just could not break through. And yeah, that's a lot of questions come up for that game. 21-3.
Go Jets.
Yeah, I mean,
First of all, how do you lose to Inca?
How do you not score a touchdown?
Didn't
right?
you say Inca's won 4 years in a row?
I think that's right.
I have no idea.
This is either the fourth or fifth year in a row that Inca's beat North Buncombe.
Yeah, I would need to double check that, but
they're basically just
competing. If that's the case, then Inca officially has North Buncombe's number.
That's true.
Has had their number.
They're just competing for not being the lowest one in the barrel.
Yeah, I mean that's tough. Tough for North. Usually North Buncombe, that's the game. You battle for Patton is what they call it. It's a big game for both sides. And, I mean, that gives Inca a little boost going down this round. You know, and I don't think the schedules probably get much easier.
No, for either team. North Buncombe.
So this is one of those you
rough.
Circle this, you know, you circle this game. You're like, we got to win this one.
Sure.
So up last, Irwin traveling to Reynolds. Reynolds was a 2.5 point home favorite. They get the win and cover 14-10. Of course, Pat, the only one to get this one correct.
Yay.
For Irwin,
let's
quarterback
go.
Caden Engel, 20 of 32 for 203 yards, a touchdown, and an interception. And that interception was something. The Ikeem jump and catch it one-handed was
what
fantastic.
A great play on the ball.
Yeah, oh yeah.
Running back Tolbert, 15 carries for 61 yards. Wide receiver Noah Hootham. 8 catches, 103 yards, and a touchdown.
We called it Howdem up in the booth.
Howdem, okay.
And so did the, I think the radio guys did too. So I don't know if that's how you pronounce it or not, but that's what was going on.
For the Rockets, quarterback Colton Reimer, 7 of 10 for 50 yards. Running back Ty Patterson, 16 carries, 111 yards and a touchdown. And running back Jaden Smith, 18 carries, 138 yards and a touchdown. Rockets rushed it for 316 yards, while Irwin only managed 59.
This was the one of the ugliest games I think I've seen. This was really, I mean, it was not a pleasant thing to watch. I think there was mental errors on both sides of the ball for sure, but certainly with Reynolds. I don't know if you guys noticed, because you all were there too.
Yep.
In the first, I just watched, I clocked this from the first half, but there were a total of 7 penalties against Irwin. Of varieties of things. There was, you know, offsides or false starts and other things. For Reynolds, in the first half alone, there were 5 false starts and there were 4 other penalties on Reynolds. So, you know, you think about, obviously, the referees constantly throwing the flags in there too. Well, they have to call the false starts. Those are mental errors.
If you're a fan of referees, this was your game.
It was. I mean, the laundry was all over the field. So this was just in the first half, but it was really kind of tough. And
just real quick, do you feel like there's people that go to the games just to watch the referees, Mike?
I don't think so.
So there is no fan of referees?
No.
Okay, sorry.
Indeed. So anyway, it was interesting because they just couldn't get into a rhythm. They were almost their own worst enemy on both sides of the ball. They both kind of shot themselves in the foot in key points of the game. And, you know, I just tracked for the first half this time because we had Mike and Carson there too, and we can banter around what happened in the second half too. But to start things off, Irwin gets the ball on their own 13. It winds up with a 26-yard touchdown pass at the end of that drive. So Irwin's up 7-0. Reynolds starts at the 37. They go turnover on downs on the Irwin 9-yard line. And that was, you know, that happened as a result of penalties. They got backed up. They were really driving. It looked like they were going to be able to close, and they wound up unable to do that. Irwin turns around the other side and punts. Reynolds has it on the 31-yard line, and eventually they get that 8-yard touchdown run by, you know, Patterson Davis, who looked really good. And then the other side of it was an Irwin field goal. And that's where the first half wrapped up with all the penalties. And then the second half, obviously, we had that unbelievable scrum rugby-looking play with Jaden Smith. And I couldn't even see him in the booth up there. It was just a mass of people, and all of a sudden he pops out on the other side, free and clear, and he's down the sideline and gone. And that wound up, what, being the difference in the game?
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, I think so. And, you know, the other, you talk about mistakes. Reynolds had a chance to put this game away. They're driving inside the 30 and fumble.
Yep.
To give Irwin the ball back. Irwin not able to do anything with it. And I think Reynolds punts again. Irwin gets it back, late driving. And, you know, we talked about referees. Incomplete pass by Irwin. Clock keeps running.
Yes.
Coach Pruitt comes off the sideline, you know, very animated, as he probably should be.
Yeah, it's under a minute to go.
And they throw a 15-yard penalty on him.
For letting them know they're doing a bad job?
Now, listen, he was clearly upset. But, yeah, I mean, yeah.
Okay, here's my thing, and when we're doing our, you know, regular jobs, I get upset too when I constantly have to remind someone how to do their dang job.
Indeed,
right?
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
The overall level of umpires and referees has been dropping drastically. Even at our game, the 2 line judges, this was their second game ever. The first one being the night before at the JV games. They were training 2 guys on the spot. Neither one of them called holds or anything all night. They were so scared to do anything. So the level of umpires and referees dropping.
And this this should have been one of the 2 premier games in the area. It should have had the best referees.
I mean, yes, Shane normally gets his way over there.
No. The thing is, you know, you got to keep that flag in your pocket as an official. Or if you throw it, you call a sideline warning. Yes, you don't change the outcome absolutely. Of the game because you're upset.
Chris St. Ange and I were up and doing the call from up high in the press box, and a couple of things came out. With that specific play at the end, I don't know. I haven't talked to Coach Pruitt or Coach Laws or any of them. I don't know. This is just what my observation was, is when that happened, the clock was running, right? And it wasn't a timeout call. The play before the Irwin player went out of bounds or was an incomplete pass or something like that. And the clock was supposed to have stopped, clearly. And then Coach Pruitt went out on the field and was trying to get the attention. Hey, you guys need to stop the clock. And then it looked like the referee looked at Coach Pruitt and like they were having a conversation. And obviously Coach Pruitt was frustrated. I have no idea if he said something or what he said, but it was almost like a delayed thing. And then the ref throws the flag. So, and then of course the coaching staff had to get Coach Pruitt out of there. So it did get, but that knocked them back to the 50.
Yeah, from the 35.
From the 35, and they were driving them, because that, you remember the play before that with got him down there. It didn't look like Irwin was going to be able to get down there in time. They started way back on their own 5 yard line, and they were driving. Ingles sets back in the pocket, and he gets that pressure from the Reynolds defense, and off his back heel, he slings that ball over the middle of the field. Now, if Ingles didn't have the pressure and he could have stepped up in the pocket and caught that receiver in stride, no one was catching that guy. That receiver had to slow down and still catch that ball, but that put Irwin in a spot to try and get the win.
So, Pat, what you're saying is the referees gave the game to Reynolds?
No, I have no idea. I don't know what was said down there. I have no clue.
There's no guarantee Irwin scores on that drive, but they were moving the ball. Now, they had all night to score. You know, they score on the first possession, and then they struggled to score again, obviously.
And I think on the first possession, they really kind of established the run pretty decent, and then that opened up some of those quick passes. But after that, after the interception, it seemed like they really were not trying to throw the ball. Is it Akeem's way?
Yeah.
Is that it? Yeah. They were not trying to throw the ball his way. They did have one or two plays in the second half where me and Mike were like, why don't they? It was a deep cross. And we were like, let's keep doing that one. But it's one of those things, penalties on both sides of the ball. If you would have told me neither team really won that game. It was just who was going to capitalize on it. And then to Pat's point on the rugby scrum, I mean, that game could still be 10-7 if there was, at least six or seven Irwin players right there. There was six or seven Reynolds players right there. And we're like, okay, it's a run for, two or three yards. And then next thing you know, he is shot out of a cannon.
Yeah.
And when you watch the video from the sideline, no one wrapped up, kind of just bowling balled his way through and then shot out for a touchdown. So
just to clarify, it was not a literal cannon.
No.
Yeah, no, not a literal cannon.
But you noticed too, you guys had to have been in the crowd, noticed it too. Obviously, Coach Loss was very frustrated, I'm sure, obviously, at some of the false starts and then some of the officiating too on that side of it. But you all remember the one play when Reimer was scrambling near side on the Reynolds sideline, and he breaks ahead. I don't know if he got the first down or not in that case, but they throw the flag, and it winds up being a hold, and it was a legitimate hold against Reynolds. But that face mask where they got him on the thing, Reimer, and basically Bat yanked his head off. And you see it clearly. In fact, I think there was a picture of it up on Facebook.
Yeah, Patrick Ravone,
He put it up there. And you see it's egregious and no penalty.
I mean, it was one of those games for the listeners. I think you could have called a penalty every single play.
Yeah.
Because
They tried to.
It was like if there was and not to take anything away from Reynolds, Reynolds made the adjustments. Irwin felt a lot more pressure. Caden was definitely, Engle, the quarterback from Irwin, was definitely uncomfortable after that first drive. It's just one of those things. It was who was going to make the mistake. There wasn't really a big special teams change of momentum or anything like that. So it wasn't like it was a muff punt or anything like that. Irwin did knock down a field goal, and I didn't think there was a chance that he was going to make it. It was probably a 40-yarder.
Yeah, 37-yard field goal.
37-yard field goal.
Yeah.
You're way off, Carson.
Yeah, way off. Sorry, Pat.
Mike, I think, had it right, and Chris talked about this on the broadcast up in the booth, but, we were doing our text thread around during when the game was going on about what's going on. That first half was pretty evenly matched, I thought, between the two teams from just moving the ball back up and down the field. If anything, maybe Irwin had a slight advantage in the first half as far as just execution and being able to do what they wanted to do with the ball. Chris pointed out in the pregame that there were four Irwin players going both ways, and sometimes you got to do that with their big athletes. But then in the second half, after obviously Reynolds makes their adjustments like they always do and they come out and you can start seeing that momentum shift, Mike brought up on the thread, the end of the third quarter, that the defense, they were just,
Irwin's defense was gassed.
Yeah, they were gassed. They were out. And then that's when you started seeing Patterson Davis and Smith and those guys and Caden Ray getting off 7 yards, 8 yards a clip and being able to kind of do what they wanted to do on offense. So,
yeah, entertaining game. But anyway, so that was last week. Exciting stuff.
Indeed.
Let's talk about conference standings. How y'all feel about that?
I like that.
All right.
Wide open.
We'll start with the Western Highlands. Hendersonville Mount Heritage 2-0 at the top. Mitchell and Owen 2-1. Madison 1-2. Avery 0-2. Polk 0-3. So there's your Western Highlands. For the Mountain Eight, Brevard 3-0. Franklin and Pisgah 3-1. West Henderson 2-1. Tuscola 2-2. Smoky and North Henderson 1-3. And East Henderson 0-4. Franklin's got to hope someone can beat Brevard.
Yeah.
For them to have a chance.
I don't know who that's going to be.
What if it's East Henderson?
Wow.
I would be very surprised.
How big will the spread be?
So if you look at the Simmons ratings, East Henderson, Avery, they're about the same. And we know just based on the spreads are large when they play. They're not very, very good football teams, unfortunately. There are 28 11-man teams that are ranked below them in the state of North Carolina.
Wow. I remember you saying that on Friday night. I couldn't believe that.
28.
Wow.
Yeah. That's a lot of football teams that are not very good.
Can we get them on the schedule?
And then in the MAC, only one weekend. Inca on top, 1-0, along with Reynolds and TC. Irwin, North Buncombe, Asheville, 0-1. So.
Hey, you know, and Chris brought it up too, and you know, he's not part of the podcast, but he brought up what we've been talking about all the time, that everything is just balanced out so much and everything's much more exciting, I think, across all of football out here in Western North Carolina.
Yeah.
It's fun. It's exciting to see. You know,
it is.
Even though it wasn't exactly a pretty thing to watch with that Irwin ACR game, it was close. It wasn't a 72-3 game.
And
we've
talked. You don't want to go see a 70. You know, we're not looking to go see a 50-0 game.
Yeah.
That's not what we're looking for.
Yeah.
Anyway, Carson, you want to give us Derek's Dirty Dozen top 10 this week?
Yes.
A few changes, I'm sure.
I sure do. Derek, I mean, just in shambles Friday night. In absolute shambles. The computer model crashing.
Sparks flying.
Number one, no change. Brevard at the top spot. Number two, no change with Mountain Heritage. Number three, no change with Hendersonville. Still, you know, another week where we've not got any MAC teams in the top three.
Wow.
Okay.
It warms my heart.
Okay. But do we have a MAC team in the four spot? We do not, with Franklin moving up from the five
look
to
at
four
that.
Spot. With
the gritty team.
Showing. And then he's got your AC Reynolds Rockets moving up from the eight to the five spot.
Indeed.
He's got TC Robertson making a strong push up with their commanding win over my Cougars. From the nine spot, he's got Robertson in the six. Not ranked Pisgah goes from out of it receiving votes to the seven spot.
Nice.
He's got West Henderson falling from four to eight. He's got Irwin dropping from six to the nine spot. And then he did keep Asheville in the top 10, falling from seven to 10.
Surprise.
Yeah. So I do know that there was deliberation of Asheville going to be in the top 10 or not.
Irwin is definitely the best 1-5 team in the area.
I would agree.
I mean, really, and
I feel like some of the,
not to keep talking about that game, but I mean, Irwin's defense for what Rodney's working with over there. I mean, they really played hard. As far as, like, if you would have told me Reynolds wins and covers, I would have probably said, you know, Reynolds' offense had their way. They probably scored 28 to 35 points, and it was one of those games. It wasn't. I mean, you take the interception away. So yeah, I mean, there's just good. They played hard. Might not have been the cleanest game, but both teams play very hard.
Did you read the article in the ACT where it was, there's some allegations going around that the voters for Derek's top 10 is, getting sideline passes? I don't know.
We heard the same thing with Owen receiving votes last week. We were like, is he, he might be on the pass list at Owen.
Yeah, I don't know.
So Derek may be doing this to get on the pass list.
Did the Jets get any votes?
Why would they?
Because they're leading in the MAC right now.
They are the top team in the MAC. So are we good to say Reynolds Robertson battling for the MAC conference?
I mean, after what Robertson did, absolutely. I mean, Robertson, we talked about the teams. Is there going to be a team go undefeated? I still don't know if that's the case.
I think that's the trick right there with Carson.
I think it's going to be a triangle where each one of them loses to another one.
Yeah.
It could be as balanced as everybody is. Because, you know, what is it? It's Asheville going to Reynolds this week, right?
Yes.
So you're going to have, I mean, they're going to be a little fired up, I would think, the Cougars after that. I mean, not only a rivalry game, but coming off of the loss to TC, they're going to, you know, who knows what's going to happen. Yeah. Obviously, I hope the Rockets prevail there, but you have no idea what's going to happen this year.
And Lewis, very familiar with triangles. So.
Indeed.
So we ready to talk about week eight?
Week eight.
Yeah. Week eight.
Week eight.
Can you believe it's
just
already
flying by, man. Yeah. Flying week by. Eight. All right. First up, out of the Western Highlands, Polk, 2-5, 0-3 in the conference at Madison, 3-4, 1-2 in the conference. Madison, 3.5-point home underdog. Madison's lost two straight to Mount Heritage and Hendersonville. In conference, they're scoring 23 while giving up 43. For Polk, they've lost three straight. And in conference, averaging 9 while giving up 35. Last year, Polk won this game 30-0. All right, Lewis, you can go first. Who gets the win here?
I think Polk's really been struggling the last couple weeks. I'm going to have to pick Madison.
That's 2 weeks in a row that Lewis has picked Madison.
Wow.
His second favorite team. Go ahead, Carson.
I'm going to Madison at home. I'm going to go with Madison looking for the outright victory.
Patrick.
I also have to go with Madison here.
Ooh.
Well, let's jinx them. I'll take them as well. I think they do win this game. You know, Owen able to beat Polk. We've already established that Madison probably the better team.
We've not established that whatsoever.
Wow.
What? Mike.
You're poking the bear. Oh, and word on the street is they're not real happy with that over there.
Yeah. So I'm basically doing to Lewis what Lewis does to everyone else. He loves it too.
I do.
Yeah. So
gives me an ulcer, by the way.
Yeah. So I slipped in a game of a couple teams we don't normally cover. Basically, I needed to give Carson his 10 to see if he could get back to 7-3.
That's my sweet spot.
7-4. 7-3.
That's what you just said.
I know. Math, not my strong suit. So, Robbinsville, 5-2, 3-0 in the conference. At Murphy, 4-2, 2-0 in the conference. Guys, this could be for the conference championship. Murphy, a 10.5-point favorite at home. Murphy's won 2 in a row since getting beat by Reynolds and haven't allowed a point in conference. They're averaging 35-0. They beat Rosman on Friday, guys, 71-0.
Jeez.
Wow.
For Robbinsville, they've beat Hayesville and Andrews and in conference and also beat Swain this past week, 23-20. Last year, Murphy wins the game 14-7. Carson, what are you thinking here?
So I'm going to go. Yeah, I don't have much on this. I'm going to go with the home team. I'm going to go with Murphy.
Murphy.
Yeah,
right.
I'm going to go with the home team.
Patrick?
I like Carson said, I don't have a lot to go on here. I have seen Murphy both in the Jamboree and then obviously at the Reynolds game. I have not seen
Robinsville. Did not look good at the Jamboree, but then also did they play another team that was competitive? Because we said, was that a different team that showed up? Or was that Swain?
That was Swain.
Okay,
yeah,
Swain. Yeah, sorry. Swain. Excuse me.
Murphy looked good at the Jamboree.
Yeah, yes, they did. Yes, yeah, okay. I thought they looked very disciplined. I'm going to go with the home team as well. I'm on with Carson there. I'm going to take Murphy.
Come on, Pat.
Well, I think Murphy may win this one, but I think Robbinsville stays within the 10.5. I'll go Robbinsville.
I think Murphy's defense is going to lead him to a huge victory. Robbinsville, obviously, the dude you have to knock off the hill over there, but I think Murphy's going to take care of that.
All right, up next, 5-1 Hendersonville travels to the Valley to take on the Warhorses, 4-3. Owen, a 32.5-point home underdog. They lost 40-7 to Mitchell last week. They have wins over Avery and Polk in conference. For Hendersonville, they beat Mitchell, 34-7. Since their loss to Irwin, they're scoring 45 while only giving up 5. They're only giving up 5 points a game since the loss to Irwin. They beat Madison last week, 56-3. These two teams did not play last year. Pat, what you thinking?
Yeah.
This is the point where you pick.
Yeah, I know where this is where we're at here. So obviously I would love to see the Warhorses really do this game, but unfortunately, guys, I can't pick them. I got to go with Hendersonville here. Hendersonville's been a powerhouse. They're what team on Derek's Dirty Dozen? Number three. Yeah. So I've got to go here with Hendersonville to prevail So, but go War Horses.
I think this will be a very similar game to the Madison game last week, where Hendersonville won 56-3. When I just think Hendersonville has some very good athletes, and they don't mind to run up the score on a team that maybe not up to their standards. Carson?
Yeah, I just think they're just going to have too many athletes, and I do think that Hendersonville is going to try and get to the running clock.
Lewis.
Yeah, after last week with Mitchell, if it wasn't such a lopsided loss for Owen and offensive defensive line didn't just get completely dominated, I was probably going to pick Owen, but I'm going to Hendersonville on this one.
Whoa.
So jinx.
No Pat poll on that side of the table.
No. Lewis will pick. I mean, Lewis is trying to win this.
All right, up next, Franklin, 5-2 at North Henderson, 3-4. North Henderson, a 16.5 point underdog at home. They lost four in a row before beating East Henderson this last week, 54-0. But guys, their losses are to Hendersonville, Tuscola, Pisgah, and Brevard. And three of those four losses were by an average margin of 8 points. For Franklin, they've won two in a row since losing to Brevard. In conference, they're scoring 31 while giving up 23. Can they stop the running game up north? Lewis, what you think?
I'm going to pick Franklin.
Franklin. I also think Franklin. Pat?
Yeah, I've got to go with Franklin. They're the gritty team, Carson called it.
Yeah, I think North Henderson's going to be a little bit more gritty, and I think they're going to keep it within 16.5 points, and hopefully their running back has 48 carries for 350 yards.
Indeed.
That's the winning recipe.
Should be a good game.
Yeah.
I'm very surprised at North, and I look for them to pick up some more wins along the way. Being able to
run football. I don't know if this will be the week they pick up a win, but I'm just hoping they keep it within the number.
Yeah. So next up, a game for a couple teams, Pat, we're not real familiar with. Kings Mountain at Ashbrook. Kings Mountain 5-1, 2-0 in the conference. Ashbrook 6-0, 2-0 in the conference. Ashbrook is a 4.5 point home favorite. Last year, Kings Mountain won this game 27-19. Ashbrook in conference scoring 32 while giving up 7. They rush it for 181 yards a game while throwing it for 100. Kings Mountain, they've won two in a row by an average of 57-0. They lost to Charlotte Catholic 28-21. That's their only loss. They rush it for 144 a game while throw it for 174 for a total of 318. For Kings Mountain quarterback KJ Bell, 173 yards a game while running back Jarlon Dry, 110 yards a game. Both teams have played North Gaston. Kings Mountain beat them 65-0, while Ashbrook beat them 44-0. Must be a pretty good team.
Yeah.
Carson, who you picking?
I'm going to go with the home team and Ashbrook over Kings Mountain covering the 4.5.
All right. I'm going to go Kings Mountain here. I think, I don't know why. I'm more familiar with Kings Mountain.
Mike, we've watched a few of Kings Mountain's games, and they're a pretty streaky team, and if they can ever get just a little bit of daylight on a scoreboard, they're going to take advantage of that. I'm also going to pick Kings Mountain.
To your point, I'm more familiar with Kings Mountain than Ashbrook, but I did get to see that Kings Mountain team 2 years ago with that ungodly defense that they put out on the field, and from everything you guys have told me about Kings Mountain's program in the past, I have no reason to think that Kings Mountain won't prevail here and keep things rolling.
So next up, West Henderson, coming off a disappointing loss to Pisgah, travels to Smoky Mountain. Smoky Mountain, a 15.5 point home underdog. Smoky's lost two in a row, and in those two, they're only scoring 6 a game while giving up 37. For West, they lost to Pisgah last week, but in conference, they're scoring 31 while giving up 16. Last year, Smoky Mountain won this game 47-28. I think we may have forgot that. Smoky won by almost 20 last year over West.
Wow.
It was also a different team.
It's the same teams.
No, I mean, Smoky is much different last year.
Different players. Yeah. Same team.
Yeah. So I'll start here. I think West is going to come out mad, and I think they win and cover.
I'm with you, Mike. I could not have said it any differently.
Lewis?
I mean, I feel the same way. I mean, after taking that shellacking last week, I don't have to go west.
Yeah, I'm going to go with Smoky Mountain covering. I'm going to go against this is the recipe. West burns you 1 week, you pick against them.
Yeah. And then they win.
And they burn you. They burn
you. Yeah. Or try to do
it
opposite.
I'm just trying to get
Lewis.
The boys hot. I'm trying to get them hot.
I think you two, you and Lewis, are in more of a competition than anything. You're just trying to get away from what Lewis is picking. That's yes. It. It could be anything.
The tiebreaker is an arm wrestling challenge, so.
Oh, I lost.
I'm just glad Pat buys us all dinner since he's going to finish last.
How did I miss that? In
we voted on it.
We did vote on it. Yeah.
I did, and I was there for that.
3-1 majority.
Yeah. So next up, one of the fiercest rivalries in all of North Carolina. Pisgah at Tuscola.
Oh, my. This is a great game. We went to this game.
We have been to this game. It's a pretty exciting atmosphere. Pisgah comes in 5-2, 3-1 in the conference. Tuscola 4-3, 2-2 in the conference. Guys, this is a pick 'em. Last year, Pisgah gets the win 10-7. For Pisgah, they come in after a beatdown of West 41-26. They're scoring 31 while giving up 24 a game in conference. For Tuscola, they win every other game, Lewis.
Yep.
So they beat North. They lost to West. They beat Smoky. They lost to Franklin. So it's their week to win. They should beat Pisgah according to the pattern. So I'm going to take Tuscola at home.
Oof.
I got to go with the pattern.
I think Pisgah last week kind of defined how this game is going to go too. We could see quite an upset here. Pisgah coming back to their physicality that Pat says that they have over the Rockets. I will take Pisgah.
Never said that.
How quickly will this game go?
Yeah, I mean, both running teams.
I'm going to go with Tuscola here.
So, yeah, I'm going to be going with Mike on this one. I'm going to have to go with the Pisgah Bears here. But I'm curious, you mentioned earlier when you were going.
I did pick Tuscola.
You picked Tuscola. Okay, so you went the other way, and I'm not paying attention. But my question is...
Jesus.
Does
this remind you of basketball, Colin? Oh, 25 with the three. No, yeah. That was 12.
That's when I couldn't see. Okay, I can see now.
I didn't ask your question, sorry.
When you went through the Tuscola game from last week, you didn't have any stats on Jet Bartley. Is there any word on that, or what's the story? Anything?
I don't have any sources out that way. So I'm not sure.
Okay, so we have no idea. Okay,
I don't know.
Yeah, I'm going to stick with Pisgah.
It's an unknown.
Maybe they were saving him for this game.
I have no idea. That's why I said, was there news on anything?
You're the one that calls on people out there. Find out.
I don't call on the high school. I call on physicians. They don't know anything about this stuff.
Oh, it's going to be a great game for sure. It doesn't matter the records coming into that one.
It is going to be good no matter
it'll
what.
It'll be a good game.
Yeah.
So next up. North Buncombe at Robertson. Robertson, a home favorite, 29.5. They've won two in a row, and in those, they're averaging 40.5 points while giving up only 13. Right now, they're rolling. For North Buncombe, they've lost three in a row. They're only scoring 12 while giving up 32 in those three. And they're only averaging 8 passes and 3 completions in those three games. These two teams did not play last year because of the storm. Carson? Are you taking your boys to North Buncombe?
No. After last week, no. Give me Robertson.
Ditto. Yeah, Robertson.
I think this is probably a 40 or 50 point game. I'm also taking Robertson.
Me four.
So next up, the battle for Cookout. Inca, 2-4, travels over to Irwin, 1-5. Irwin, a 30.5 point favorite. Last year, Irwin won this game 55-14. But Irwin's lost two in a row. They're only scoring 18 a game while giving up 32. Inca, on the year, are scoring 17 while giving up 25. They continued their streak against North Buncombe last week. Can they continue to roll against Irwin? Guys, as poorly as the season has gone for Irwin, I do still think they win this one by more than 30. Lewis?
I agree with you, especially after frustration that Rodney has after last week, basically having the game stolen from him by the White Hat.
Unbelievable.
I mean, whatever it takes for Reynolds to win, right?
Oh my gosh.
But anyway, let me go ahead. I'll go ahead and take Irwin as well.
Pat.
So one thing we didn't talk about with that Irwin team is, I don't know if y'all remember Tolbert, the running back for Irwin. He's a freshman.
Yes.
And he gets behind his pads and runs tough, and he was able to, he got through the holes pretty well. I'm excited to see how he develops as a player and that type of thing. And he's got Caden Engle back there with him. Obviously, they're going to come back, to your point, a little fired up, and I think they're going to be able to get the win here handily and cover. So give me Irwin.
Carson?
Yeah, I'm going to go with Inca here with the stinky pick. I'm going to go with Inca covering the points. Lewis is shaking his head. I'm
just grateful for this. There's been two or three. I'm like,
I know, me too. But we're going to go with it.
All right, so last but not least, big rivalry game here in Buncombe County. Asheville 2-4 at Reynolds 3-3. Last year, Reynolds won this game 30-27. Big swing in the spread on this one after last week. This was going to be a Reynolds underdog game. Now Reynolds the favorite by 7.5.
Yep.
So this could be a road to the MAC championship for Reynolds. They also are on a pattern. They lost Brevard. Next week, they beat Maiden. They lost to J.M. Robinson. Then they beat Murphy. They lost to Freedom. And then they beat Irwin. Guys, I'm following the pattern. Asheville gets the win here. On the year, Reynolds scoring 21 while giving up 33 for Asheville. They're young. They're dealing with injuries. They're also only scoring 21 while giving up 37, so very similar. Both are going to have to stop the run. Can they do it? Carson, what do you think?
Yeah, I think that Asheville is going to regroup here, and they're going to keep it within a touchdown. So I'm going to go with Asheville covering.
Lewis?
I agree with what Carson just said, but... Man, Asheville, I wish you guys would give me something to be confident in, but I hate Reynolds with everything in me, so I'm going with you guys.
Pat, go ahead and pick Asheville.
Jeez. Wow. So here's the thing. Obviously, I'm going to pick Reynolds here. That's no secret.
What?
But here's the thing with it. They've got to clean up a little bit of the mental errors and be dialed in. And be able to execute in order to beat an Asheville team, because I think we all agree Asheville's got an unbelievable offense and looked like there for a while their defense was coming on pretty well. And to your point, both have to stop the run. The Rockets have a heck of a running team with Davis, with Patterson Davis and Jaden, I'm sorry, Jaden Smith and Patterson Davis, and then obviously Caden Ray is a deep threat. And now that Klepper's back in
the
lineup, I mean, it's... They're going to have some weapons to throw to. So if they can mitigate some of the false start stuff and some of the unnecessary penalties, I think Reynolds will get this done and get it done handily.
Indeed. Should be another exciting week of football.
Yeah, very, very exciting. And we're going to sit here, and next week there'll be something that we did not see coming. Because that's what these teams are.
From your picks, I think there's going to be about four things you didn't see coming.
Okay, 6-4? 6-4 is a much improved from my last 2 weeks.
That's true.
That means that's a green week for me.
A green week.
Yep.
Man. Pat, you got a fun question for us this week?
I don't. Okay. Anybody got a fun question? I'm struggling to come up with those lately. Anybody?
Lewis, do you have one?
Yeah, so I was thinking if you had to change careers and take the place of one high school coach right now in Western North Carolina, who would it be?
A football coach?
Yeah, let's do football.
High school football coach. Where you get to change.
You get to take their job.
Go ahead, Pat.
So whoever this poor team is that we get me as their head coach, I'm very, very sorry, because we would not do very well as a team at all. But who would I pick in that situation?
Just go ahead and pick them.
No.
Go pick your team so I can clip, so we can clip that you would like to be the head coach at AC Reynolds.
I would not like to be the head coach. Talk about expectations. Yeah. No, thank you. I don't want any part of that. That'd be good.
So what I can hear is Pat doesn't like to have to deliver.
I don't mind having to deliver, but I think you know what I'd like to do.
You want to work for UPS?
Yeah, I could work at UPS. I can do that. I'm going to go with Inca Jets. That's in my backyard.
Just because of the commute or what?
Yeah, mostly. That's like I said, I would be a horrible, horrible coach. I wouldn't want to
be, you know, a year or two from retirement.
Well, that's true. I mean, what they got over there, you would pretty much just be a fill-in.
Agony.
Lewis?
I think I would go Mountain Heritage because the new guy kind of stepped in. They're still rolling. That's a program that has, like, deep roots. Everybody knows what's going on. Even the elementary school kids know what play's coming. I think that would be an awesome job to roll into and just really be successful.
Yeah. I would probably do West Henderson. I think West Henderson with that community and there's just
how it's growing. That's a good choice.
It's growing.
Yeah, that's a good choice.
They've got some athletes over there and great people.
And like they're not like star studded or anything. Like you can just kind of walk in and even like on a kind of down year, you know you're gonna kind of turn around next year with what's coming.
Yeah.
You know?
I think for me it's Tuscola. I wanna be in a small community where I can you know, be competitive every year, and
that's also part of the Mountain Heritage.
That Mountain Heritage is great, right? Because I mean, the place shuts down for Friday night football,
so, right? So. And like, you really get that community feel still.
Can you imagine coaching in a game where like everybody shows up? Everybody.
There's only one downside to that: those yard signs you get after you lose one,
and then you're going to breakfast Saturday morning. You can't. And it's like you can't go to breakfast.
No, I got
to
cook.
No
in.
Waffle House. You're cooking in.
That's right.
Making eggs at the house.
I'm good with that.
Love it.
Guys, great show. Yes. We appreciate you guys joining us.
Yeah, until next week, it'll all be exciting again as everybody seems so even. So tune in next time. Next week, it ought to be exciting. We're looking forward to it.
Yes. Love you guys.